Welcome to Jersey Guys Sports, the home of sports talk about the Yanks, Giants, Rangers, and Rutgers, and I'm your host, Don. Today we're going to be talking about the Giants, general manager, getting introduced to fans with a Wednesday press conference, and Rutgers' postseason hopes are done due to an awful home loss to Maryland on Tuesday night. So let's get started. So the New York Giants introduced their new general manager, Joe Shane, to the fans Wednesday with a late Wednesday morning press conference. Some interesting tidbits came out of it. I just listened to the press conference, and I have a few thoughts on the new general manager. Obviously, these are hot takes, and there are certain things you have to say during a press conference which may or may not reflect what your actual intentions are, especially when you get asked questions point blank by the reporters, as Joe was on Wednesday. One of the important things he mentioned was that he seems to be sticking with Daniel Jones at quarterback. It should be noted that Jones was at the press conference. So again, this might be something you have to say as a general manager, but he mentioned that he will build an offense around Jones. So that seems to indicate that he's looking to stick with DJ, at least for this year. I guess we'll see as time progresses. He was also asked if he has full autonomy to make the head coaching hire, given reports that owners might have preferred different candidates than he did, and the fact that the Giants had sort of reached out to other coaches before they actually hired Shane as their GM. Shane's response was that the coaching hiring will be a collaborative process, and that if there are disagreements, they'll find common ground. Again, I find this a little worrisome for several reasons, especially given the poor choices that upper management has made over the last 5 to 7 years and their hiring swings and misses. So when he talks about being collaborative, it might be something that you just say in a press conference because that's what you say in a press conference. But hopefully in the end, he has the ultimate authority to decide who gets hired, both as a head coach and in the front office, because we need some new blood making decisions and not the same old people making the decisions. To that end, unfortunately, when he was asked, he said he's keeping Abrams, and that Kevin Abrams, who was the assistant GM, he's keeping and actively listening to Kevin Abrams, which hopefully again is something you say in a press conference, and maybe not he's going to take too much to heart. We'll have to see how that goes, because again, we need new blood in here and fresh voices and fresh opinions. He mentioned a couple other interesting tidbits from the press conference. He seems very likable, by the way. He's a young guy, 42. He seems kind of really, really with using modern techniques such as analytics and things like that, which I'll talk about. He mentioned, I think you can compete today and still build for tomorrow, I believe was one of his quotes. So maybe there will be no teardown, and maybe we'll try to rebuild while competing. We'll see how that all works out. Again, so much depends on the quarterback. So many of these other things don't matter. In any case, Shane needs to move this franchise into the 21st century when it comes to, modern analytics. Probably fire the entire damn scouting department, for example, because they suck. Let's face it. Whoever's scouting for the Giants just really needs to find new jobs, because, again, they have a poor assessment of talent, and whether that was from the previous horrible GM Gettleman on down, that's for Shane to assess. But in my opinion, a whole fresh start with his people is really what's required. By the way, he doesn't call analytics as such. He calls them data innovation. So that's his term for it. He's going to use analytics for the NHL draft, he mentioned, and use it for other things like how much training and, to try to get people hurt less and things like that. Essentially, he said something like, we'll need to be open to the information, which I think is a really good thing. And he did not give away too much about who the next head coach will be, although he talked sort of in generalities about some of the current finalists for head coach. So there wasn't too much to really take away from that, other than he needs to be able to work collaboratively with him and such. So we'll have to look forward to seeing who he chooses. And I do have some confidence in him based on this press conference. And we'll see how it goes going forward. So the quicker we get the coach, the better, but we definitely don't want to rush it. It's most importantly, we need to pick the right person. So we'll see how it goes. Speaking of picking the right person for a head coach, Patrick Graham is one of the folks interviewing with Jim Schoen for the head coaching vacancy for the Giants. Patrick is the current defensive coordinator for the Giants. And I just don't know why he is being considered. And a lot of people are writing that he should be considered. And I don't know why exactly. The Giants need a clean slate again in this way. And I think they need new voices. And whether he's retained as a defensive coordinator or being considered for the head coach, again, I think in these kind of cases where the team is so bad and there's so much negativity around everything associated with the Giants, wiping everything away and starting with a clean slate is often the best way to go. And in this case, I think that's what we need to do. Even if Patrick Graham is some kind of good defensive coach or perhaps a leader, which I do not think he is. He is not a bad defensive coordinator, but I don't think he's a very good one either. The Giants defense has been okay in spurts this year, but it's mostly been bordering between bad and terrible. In 2020, it was perhaps a little bit better than expected in Joe Judge's first year here, but it's still not as good as it was made out to be that year. This year, in 2021, the defense was bad most of the year. There's just no other way to describe it. I think the defense simply went under the radar because the offense was even worse on the Giants. They had such a bad team that the just incredibly dreadful offense sort of overshadowed the mostly poor defense. But if you're paying attention to just the defense this year, I don't think there's a way that you can say that the Giants had a good defense. They do not have a pass rush. They did not stunt very much at all. They didn't call blitzes at the appropriate times. Some of their coverages look like a joke. I don't feel like he's that great of a defensive mind, honestly. And I do not want to hear the thing I hate, and this comes up over and over and over again when talking about, you know, what makes a defense bad. And a lot of times on TV and on talk shows, you hear folks saying, well, the offense is so bad that the defense had to be on the field the whole time. And that is just such a horseshit, ridiculous argument. I can't stand that argument. It is almost completely a non-factor. It's such a small factor in the defense that it should not even be mentioned. Saying that because the offense couldn't do anything, that the defense had to be on the field for so long is a joke. You know how the defense gets off the field? Stop the other team on third down. If you're on defense and you're on the field all the time, it's because you can't make plays to get off the field. If you stop the other team on third down, you're off the field. That's the end of the story. Whatever happens on the other side of the ball happens. What happens on your side of the ball is you keep letting the other team get first downs, and so you're on the damn field the entire game. That has nothing to do with the offense. It has to do with you being poor defensively. And every time I hear that argument, I feel like, you know, people don't know what they're talking about. Again, it might be a small factor. Maybe having to go back on the field all the time makes you a little more tired. But honestly, if you're good, you stop the other team, you get off the field. So stop talking about it. And by the way, when we talk about the Giants defense, I was trying to look up how good or bad they were, just to be sure about my, you know, memory of the defense this year wasn't tainted. And the Giants were 23rd in the league in giving up points per game, something like 24, 25 points a game they're giving up, which sucks. They're like 21st in yards per game. I don't know, over 350 yards a game they gave up. This is not a good defense. Graham is not a good defensive coordinator. And no, I know they don't have good defensive players either. But if you add all that up and someone says, well, yeah, that makes a good choice for a head coach, I just don't see the line from A to B. So yes, there are problems with the personnel, but I've seen nothing to indicate that Graham has taken advantage of what he could and made the defense better than it could have been with the players that he's been given. So moving on from the Giants, we're going to talk about Rutgers. Rutgers lost to Maryland Tuesday night, and the score was 68-60, but if you watch it, it was not that close. They got killed at home, and that's a venue that they actually win many games at. Rutgers was played again by terrible shooting. And it's hard to understand how it happens, but they simply go through these long spurts where they cannot hit shots. Rutgers had a terrible loss to what was essentially a seven-man team at Minnesota a few days before that. And then they followed up with this awful home effort where they could not shoot and just put in an overall poor effort at home at the rack on Tuesday night. And essentially, it ended any kind of hopes they had of making the NCAA tournament this year. There was a lack of defensive effort in the beginning. This team continues to start the game slowly. Pikel has got to take some kind of responsibility for this debacle. I mean, the coach cannot get out there and play. But if you see another slow start like you did here, and it happens over and over, as it has been, the coach has got to do better and somehow get this team more pumped in the beginning or get them. You know, there's lots of things coaches can do, right? You know, maybe it's starting different people in the beginning of the game to, you know, shake the team up. Maybe it's noticing trends quicker, making faster adjustments. Something has to change early in these games. Pikel is not absolved of, you know, responsibility here. Still, at some point, the team has to just hit shots. Harper, again, was a no-show for the second game in a row. He simply cannot be counted on every night. His reputation seems to be otherwise, and that's all everyone talks about, how Harper is this great, consistent, is the team's leading scorer. He is the team's leading scorer. But you know how he averages 16 points a night? He gets 30 one night and 6 the next night or something like that. He's not putting in 16, 17, 18, 22. He was really not good and missed basically just about every shot in the first half. He was really a disappointment, and it's upsetting. Geo Baker was great in the first half, fantastic, but then pretty much absent in the second half. They didn't really get him the ball. He didn't really take many shots, and I think he ended up, I don't know, 2 points or something in the second half. I didn't see the final stats. It was so depressing. With every passing game, to me, it becomes more and more apparent that the loss of Miles Johnson, Young, and Mathis, who departed through the portal this past year, are too much for this current team to overcome. It's just too much. We have replacements, but the replacements who play in their place are inferior. And this, you can tell it as this season goes on and more time passes. You can see, at least in my mind, that losing Johnson, Young, and Mathis, we can't replace those points. We don't seem to have enough people that can score with any kind of consistency. And I'm not even saying that those three were such consistent scorers, but certainly they contributed some scoring. It seemed like Mathis pumped in 8, 10, 12, sometimes 15 points a night, and you didn't even notice him. Like, Mathis was a person that, you know, while not always that noticeable, you look at the stat sheet at the end of the night, he's got 10, 12 points, and you barely realize he played. So a lot of times you need those players that just are there and can do the work, and we have not replaced those folks. Despite Pikel's attestation that, you know, this is, you know, our best team ever before the year started, it seems far from that. And it's such an enigma, too, because we've had some great wins, right? Rutgers beat number one Purdue in dramatic fashion at the rack. I mean, what a tremendous game, a tremendous finish. Harper in that game was out of this world. We beat Michigan for the first time ever. We beat Iowa with a really good effort. The number three scoring team in the country, number one in the Big Ten. We held them, instead of their normal 86 points, to like 44 points on offense or some ridiculous effort, you know, amount of scoring like that. So there were some amazing high points this season, but there are a number of infuriating, unexplainable losses, which I'm not going to recap here, but last night was one of those. It's not that Maryland is a bad team. They beat Illinois pretty good the other night without their star center, but Maryland is not a great team. whether they beat Illinois or not, they're not that good. And losing to this team, not just by 1 point on a last-minute heave, but really, Rutgers was trounced last night. They were down by 20 points in the first half. This kind of loss is infuriating, and it's unexplainable. So while they have these great wins, they have these ridiculous losses to go along with them, and this one was the nail in the coffin. With this loss, Rutgers almost certainly will not make the NCAA tournament. And that's another step backwards. I guess we can hope for some kind of miracle in February when the schedule gets much, much harder. But it's not looking like this team can rise to that kind of level of play, at least with any kind of consistency, and get through it. But I guess we can hope. And that's all I have for today. I want to thank you for listening to the Jersey Guy Sports Podcast. Please tell your friends if you like what you're hearing. I'll be back soon with some more sports talk. Thanks, and have a good day.